Blog Talk Radio.
When America broke off and created, we created America,
They called him Mad King George. And, you know, of course, she was that many said was of African descent from Germany, that she was beautiful. And they had 15 kids. So he wasn't so mad that he didn't handle his royal business, as they say. But digressing, just want to say happy Mother's Day to all the mothers. Thank you for listening in. Thank you for being mighty, powerful women of God who love God and who love their children. So thank you, Mother Valerie, for adopting me. Thank you, Aunt Rita, for allowing me to be your God niece. And Sister Carolyn is my sister in every way. And a shout out to my biological sister, Tina, a mighty, powerful woman of God who knew how to fight like a girl. Thank God that she is in remission and doing very well. God gives the glory. And again, to my own mother, to my mother, Ellen, who is a mighty, powerful woman of God. Thank you, thank you, thank you for just being a great mom and allowing me to spend time with you. And to my cousin, Christine, who came and also spent time with my mother and I as we all went out to eat, had great conversation and laughter and a good time. So thanking God just for my pastor and, you know, who, and me coming late, you know, I stopped at the church because I was getting ready. I met my daughter there to head to Chicago. And just an overview of why your host is so tired. I went to a concert, and not just any concert. I went to a concert last night, Mother. And, whoo.
Wow.
They got filled up. Cardi Carday, woo, Lordy. When that man came out with "You Don't Know What I've Been Through," that crowd went wild because we all know, none of us know what each other have been through, but God. And then they brought out, oh my goodness, little Mr. Smokey Narvel, who just came out, and we had church. We had church. And I was singing in the choir. Because my section, I'm going to tell you, those ladies could sing. Woo, they could sing, and I just joined in because they was good. They was really, really good, and they were just, we just had a laughter time, a great time, a praising time. You know, Smokey Narvel, you know, came out. And, you know, he has a,
wow.
has a new song coming out. You know, just, oh, wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. And, okay, when our girl came out, Tasha Cobb, oh, my, when she came out with "What You Gonna Do," folks got to put a praising on it. It was all that and some. And then, whoo, Minister Donnie McClurkin came out. And when he said, "We fall down, but we get up," that was
my
it.
Goodness.
It was on, and everybody was. It was, by then, it was probably 9:30-ish, going on 10. Miss Tamla Mann came out last, and she closed us out. She closed us out and, ooh, took us all the way to the throne. She took us to the king. And all I can say is I'm still there with him because it was that good. I got home this morning around 3-something. And I was like, oh, my God, what am I going to do? And then Mother Valerie calls me and says, I got it. I mean, I'm like, praise God. You know, because I'm like, you know, have you had them whiny moments with your mama? Thank you, mama. My mama came through as always. So I'm thankful that my mama came through to say, I got you, baby. I got you. I know you're sleepy. I know you're tired. I got you. And I'm thinking, praise God, you know, and just knowing that it's going to all work out for our good. But I want us to start off this morning with a new chapter in 2 Samuel. And we're going to pray after I give this overview. Actually, Mother's going to pray and she's going to start our show today. So because I'm putting the praise on it. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. You know, and it says the author of 2 Samuel, unknown but not Samuel, since the events of the book take place after the death, after his death. Some just suggest Abiathar the priest, dated approximately 1010 to 970 B.C., the reign of King David. David becomes Israel's greatest king, but with major flaws. Again, David, not perfect, but loves the Lord. It says, and when King Saul dies, David is made king by the southern Jewish tribe of Judah. 7 years later, after the death of Saul's son, Ish-bosheth, king of the northern tribe, David becomes ruler of all Israel, capturing Jerusalem from the Jebusites. David creates a new capital for his unified nation, and God promises David, your throne will be established forever. Military victories make Israel strong, but when David stays home from battle one spring, come on now, the enemy slides on in. I'm saying that part. But what the word says is David stays home from a battle one spring. He commits adultery with a beautiful neighbor, Bathsheba. Then he has her husband, one of his soldiers, murdered. The prophet Nathan confronts David with a story of a rich man who steals a poor man's sheep. David is furious until Nathan announces, thou art the man. Come on now. Nathan didn't play. Nathan did not play, I tell you that. Y'all thought Samuel was something. Nathan, tell David in a minute, you messed up. And he's there right now, the prophet. God sends his prophet every time. And he's chasing David. Repents. David repents. And God forgives his sin. But their consequences will affect David powerfully. The baby conceived in the church dies, and David's family begins to splinter apart. One of David's sons, Amnon, rapes his half-sister and a second son, Abisal, full brother to the violated girl, kills Amnon in revenge. Absalom. There we go. Thank you, Jesus. Absalom then conspires to steal the kingdom from David, causing his father to flee for his life. When Absalom dies in battle with David's men, David grieves so deeply that he offends his soldiers. Ultimately, David returns to Jerusalem to reassert his kingship. He also rises another son born to Bathsheba, Solomon. And we know Solomon is the king of wisdom. God gives him that gift. He gave David love in his heart for God. Yes, he messed up. Yes, he messed around with a married woman. Yes, he had a baby. That baby died. Then he had another baby who became king. Look at God. Won't he do it? And it says,
amen.
How are the mighty fallen in the midst of battle? Who am I, O Lord God? What is my house that thou hast brought me hitherto? Oh, my son Absalom, would God I had died for thee. Oh, Absalom, my son. And, you know, with this, we'll get to this in chapter 18. His military men had to come and get it straight because he had lost it. You sitting here mourning somebody was trying to kill you, his daddy, and take your place. But you sitting here acting like your soldiers did something wrong when they fought for you. So they was not pleased with David on that one, you know, because David kind of lost it there for a minute. But then you got to stop and think that was his first child. You know, that was his son, and he loved him. But he did not do anything to protect this man's sister. And that's what sent Absalom over the edge. When your sister is raped and your father blows it off, to get upset with you for killing the rapist, even though the rapist was your half brother. You wasn't playing that. He's like, incest is not in this. And then not only does he rape her, but then treats her like she's some kind of harlot when she didn't ask to be raped. She didn't ask to be molested. And then you're going to treat her terribly? No, brother wasn't feeling that. And understand, he waited before he did it. He waited some years. But when he struck hard. And it was wrong, yes. But then nobody stopped to think how he would feel, how you would feel if it was your sibling. And how you would feel if one of your other siblings raped your sister. Now, they were sisters and brothers from the same mama and the same daddy. And this other one, from a pagan, going to rape your sister and set it up. I mean, he set it up real cool and nice, you know. Mama's sick. Can you have my sister come over and take care of me? And David just is not using his wisdom to understand something wasn't right here. So David had just as much responsibility when he told his daughter to go over and take care of her brother. And he had the wrong idea. And David did not reprimand him. That's where Absalom lost his mind. The unique and unusual about this word is this. David's nephew killed a Philistine of great stature that had on every hand six fingers and on every foot six toes. David's top soldier, Adino, once killed 800 men single-handedly. David had some mighty men with him. So what about this word? David's story highlights the vital importance of the choices we make. Who would have guessed that such a great man could fall into such terrible sins? And with that, I turn it over to you, Mother Valerie. I'll be back at the end, y'all, to just wrap us up. But Mother Valerie is reading this morning, and we pray, may the Lord add a blessing to the teaching and reading of this mighty word. It is yours, Mother Valerie. Good morning, and happy Mother's Day.
Good morning.
Belated, even though I was blessed to be able to tell you in person, happy Mother's Day. Love you so very, very much.
Good morning, thanks to God. Good morning, good morning, good morning. We had a beautiful, happy Mother's Day to everybody, to every mother. And it was just a wonderful, wonderful day. Of course, even with the rain, we went to see my sister Janice up in Lincoln. And coming back, oh, my gosh, it was such a big rainstorm. I mean, it rained. But God is good. God is good all the time. I'm reading in 2 Samuel 3:1-12. Now, there was a long war between the house of Saul, house of David. David grew stronger and stronger. House of Saul grew weaker and weaker. Sons were born to David in Hebron. The firstborn was Abner by Ahinah, the Jebusite. The second was Chilad by Abigail, the widow of Nabah, the Canaanite. The third, Absalom, the son of Maacah, the daughter of Talmai, king of Gershon. The fourth, Adonijah, the son of Hagar. The fifth, Shephtilah, the son of Abitel. And the sixth, Ismastrin, by David's wife, Ega. They were born to David in Hebron. Now, it was so, while there was war between the house of Saul, house of David, that Abner was strengthening his hold on the house of Saul. Saul had a concubine whose name was Rizpah, the daughter of Agar. So Ishbosheth said to Abner, "Why have you gone into my father's concubine?" Then Abner became very angry at the word of Ishbosheth and said, "Am I a dog that belongs to Judah? Today I show loyalty to the house of Saul, your father, to his brothers and to his friends, and have not delivered you into the hand of David. And you charge me today with a fault concerning this woman? May God do so to Abner and more also if I do not do for David as the Lord has sworn to him, to transfer the kingdom from the house of Saul and set up the throne of David over Israel, over Judah, from Dan to Beersheba. And he could not answer Abner another word because he feared him. Then Abner sent messengers on his behalf to David, saying, "Who is the land?" saying also, "May your covenant with me, and indeed my hand shall be with you to bring all Israel to you." And David said, "Good, I'll make a covenant with you. But one thing I require of you, you shall not see my face unless you first bring Malchah, Saul's daughter, when you come to see my face." So David sent messengers to Ishbosheth, Saul's son, saying, "Give me my wife Malchah, whom I betrothed to myself for 100 foreskins of the Philistines." And Ishbosheth sent and took her from her husband, from Pelah, the son of Labrus. Then her husband went along with her to Bashan, weeping behind her. So Abner said to him, "Go, return." And he returned. Now Abner had communicated with the elders of Israel, saying, "In time past you were seeking for David to be king over you. Now then do it. For the Lord has spoken of David, saying, 'By the hand of my servant David, I will save my people Israel from the hand of the Philistines and the hand of all their enemies.'"
And Abner also, excuse me, Mother, I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
You're doing an awesome job, but you're not in the right book. We are in 2 Samuel chapter 1.
2 Samuel chapter
1? See, Mother was gone. Mother was on tomorrow's lesson, and she was tearing it up. But, you know, I'm sorry, because of titles and how we do the word, we got to go back a little bit. And I was like, "Ooh, my mama's working it." And then I'm like, "Wait a minute, you're not in the right book." So we need our right chapter. So we need to go back to the beginning of 2 Samuel chapter 1.
Go
because,
to May 15th,
you know,
2 Samuel 1.
Yes, ma'am. That's today. Yes, ma'am. Today is the 15th. And just want to say, for those that are just joining us, Mother Valerie is reading today. But, Mother, the word that God gave me for this word, which is why I'm sorry, because it's already out there in the Ethernet and on Facebook and everything, is the word that God gave was, "Should have kept that lie behind your teeth. Your own mouth did you in." And you'll understand as you read the word what it's about. So we're going back a little bit. We'll come back to Bishop Ishbosheth and all the folks, Abner and the crew, on tomorrow. But today we're going back to the beginning before all the fight starts between David and Ishbosheth.
Just 2 Samuel 1 and 1.
2 Samuel 1, yes, ma'am.
And chapter 2.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. I'm reading 2 Samuel 1 and 1, 2 and 32. Now it came to pass at the death of Saul, when David had returned from the slaughter of the Amalekites, David had stayed 2 days in Ziklag. On the third day, behold, it happened that a man came to Saul's camp with his clothes torn, dust on his head. So it was, when it came to David, that he fell to the ground, prostrate himself. David said to him, "Where have you come from?" He said to him, "I have escaped from the camp of Israel." Then David said to him, "How did the matter go? Please tell me." And he answered, "The people have fled from the battle. Many of the people are fallen and dead. And Saul and Jonathan, his son, are dead also." So David said to the young man who told him, "How do you know that Saul and Jonathan, his son, are dead?" Young man who told him said, "As I happened by chance to be on Mount Gibeon, there was Saul leaning on his spear, and indeed the chariots and horsemen followed hard after him. Now when he looked behind him, he saw me, called to me, and I answered, 'Here I am.' Said to me, 'Who are you?' So I answered him, 'I am an Amalekite.' He said to me again, 'Please stand over me and kill me, for anguish have come upon me, but my life still remains in me.' So I stood over him and killed him, because I was sure that he could not live after he had fallen. I took the crown that was on his head and the bracelet was on his arm and brought them here to my lord." Therefore David took hold of his own clothes and tore them, and so did all the men who were with him. They mourned and wept and fasted in the evening for Saul and for Jonathan his son, for the people of the Lord and for the house of Israel, because they had fallen by the sword. Then David said to the young man who told him, "Where are you from?" And he answered, "I am the son of an alien, an Amalekite." So David said to him, "How was it you were not afraid to put forth your hand to destroy the Lord's anointed?" David called one of his young men and said, "Go near and execute him." Struck him so that he died. So David said to him, "Your blood is on your own head, for your own mouth have testified against you, saying, I have killed the Lord's anointed." Then David lamented with his lamentation over Saul and over Jonathan his son. He told them to teach the children of Judah the song of the bow. Indeed, it is written in the book of Gashner, "The beauty of Israel is slain on your high places. How the mighty have fallen. How the mighty have fallen. Tell it not in God, proclaim it not in the streets of Ashkelon, lest the daughters of the Philistines rejoice, lest the daughter of the uncircumcised triumph. O mountains of Gibeah, let there be no dew nor rain upon you, nor fields of offering. For the shield of the mighty is cast away there, the shield of Saul, not anointed with oil, from the blood of the slain, from the fat of the mighty. The bow of Jonathan did not turn back. The sword of Saul did not return empty." Saul and Jonathan were beloved, pleasant in their lives, and in their deaths they were not divided. They were swifter than eagles. They were stronger than lions. O daughter of Israel, weep over Saul, who clothed you in scarlet with luxury, who put ornaments of gold on your apparel. How the mighty have fallen in the midst of the battle. Jonathan was slain in your high places. I'm distressed for you, my brother Jonathan. I am distressed for you. Life lessons, 2 Samuel 1:26. I am distressed for you, my brother Jonathan. You have been very pleasant to me. David honored Saul in his lament, but he celebrated Jonathan, his dear friend. David became what he was, at least in part, because of Jonathan. Friends play an important role in shaping our spiritual destinies. That's why they say all the time, be careful. Be careful, be careful, be careful who you choose to be your friend, because you don't have many friends, not true friends, maybe one or two. You have acquaintance, but be careful who you let into your life, because they will have an impact on you. And a lot of times, instead of going to God, we go to our friends and ask opinions of them. So just be careful who you let into your life. Life lesson, 2 Samuel 1:16. Your blood is on your own head, for your own mouth have testified against you. Hoping for a reward, the Amalekite lied about his role in Saul's death, but he had just stripped the dead king of some personal effect. David rewarded him with death, since no man have the right to kill the Lord's anointed. Touch not my anointed, and do my prophet no harm. Regardless of what Saul did to David, I mean, he chased him, and he did so many things to David. David had plenty of opportunities to kill Saul, but he would not. Even when he cut off a part of Saul's robe, it hurt him so bad that he had just cut off the king's robe. So the Bible says, touch not my anointed, do my prophet no harm. And David would not attack Saul. David's men said, come on, God has delivered your enemy into your hand. Come on, let's kill Saul. Let's take him out. And David said, no, he is the anointed of the Most High God. We will not do anything to him. We're not going to touch him. That's for sure. So he didn't. If you put your trust in God, and bless your enemies like the Bible tells you to do, bless your enemies, God will take care of people that are trying to hurt you and harm you. You don't have to do anything. It's really hard when Jesus was teaching, turn the other cheek. I mean, that's something that's hard to do. And in a situation like that, you don't know if you would turn the other cheek. But I know if you do it, if you really turn the other cheek, pray for your enemies, you will come out a winner. You'll win every time. But I'm not saying that that's an easy thing to do. Not when you know somebody's hating on you. But just do what God say do. That was the lesson the other day. Do what God say do. Turn the other cheek. Just caring. I'm reading the second chapter. It happened after this that David inquired the Lord, saying, shall I go up to any of the cities of Judah? I don't know if that's where I'm at or not.
Okay. Ma'am, you are.
That's where I'm at. Oh, it happened after this that David inquired of the Lord, saying, shall I go up to any of the cities of Judah? The Lord said to him, go up. David said, where shall I go up? He said, to Hebron. So David went up there, and his two wives also, Hinnom the Jezreelite, and Abigail, the widow of Nabal, the Carmelite. David brought up the men who were with him, every man with his household. So they dwelt in the cities of Hebron. Then the men of Judah came, and they anointed David king over the house of Judah. And they told David, saying, the men of Jabesh Gilead were the ones who buried Saul. David sent messengers to the men of Jabesh Gilead and said to them, you are blessed of the Lord, for you have shown this kindness to your Lord, to Saul, and have buried him. And now may the Lord show kindness and truth to you. I also repay you for this kindness, because you have done this thing. Now, therefore, let your hands be strengthened and be valiant, for your master Saul is dead, and also the house of Judah has anointed me king over them. Now, Abner, the son of Ner, commander of Saul's army, took Ishbosheth, the son of Saul, and brought him over to Mahanah, and he made him king over Gilead, over the Asher, over Jezreel, over Ephraim, over Benjamin, and over all Israel. Ishbosheth, Saul's son, was 40 years old when he began to reign over Israel. He reigned 2 years over the house of Judah, followed to David. And the time that David was king in Hebron over the house of Judah was 7 years and 6 months. Now Abner, the son of Ner, and the servants of Ishbosheth, the son of Saul, went out from Mahanah to Gibeon. And Joab, the son of Zerah, and the servants of David went out and met them by the pool of Gibeon. So they sat down, one on one side of the pool, the other on the other side of the pool. Then Abner said to Joab, let the young men now arise and compete before us. Now Joab said, let them arise. And so they arose, went over by number, 12 from Benjamin, followers of Ishbosheth, the son of Saul, 12 from the servants of David. And each one grasped his opponent by the head, and thrust his sword in his opponent's side. So they fell down together. Therefore, that place was called the Field of Sharp Swords, which is in Gibeon. So there was a very fierce battle that day. And Abner and the men of Israel were beaten before the servants of David. Now the three sons of Zerubbabel were there, Joab, the Ephraimite, and Abner, and Asher. It was a fleet of foot as a wild gazelle. So Asher pursued Abner, and in going, he did not turn to the right hand or the left hand from following Abner. Then Abner looked behind him and said, are you Asher? And he answered, I am, I am. And Abner said to him, turn aside to your right hand or to your left hand, and lay hold on one of the young men. Take his armor for yourself. But Asher would not turn aside from following him. So Abner said again to Asher, turn aside from following me. Why should I strike you to the ground? How then could I face your brother Joab? However, he refused to turn aside. Therefore, Abner struck him in the stomach with the blunt end of the spear, so that the spear came out of his back. He fell down there and died on the spot. So it was that as many as came to the place where Abner fell down and died stood still. Joab and Abishai also pursued Abner, and the sun was going down when they came to the hill of Amah, which is before Gilead, by the road to the wilderness of Gibeon. Now the children of Benjamin gathered together behind Asner and became a unit, and they stood and took their stand on top of a hill. Then Asner called to Joab and said, "Shall the sword devour forever? Do you not know that it would be bitter in the latter end? How long will it be then until you tell the people to return from pursuing their brother?" Joab said, "As God lives, unless you have spoken, surely then by morning all the people would have given up pursuing their brother." So Joab blew a trumpet. All the people stood and did not pursue Israel anymore, nor did they fight anymore. Then Abner and his men went on all that night through the plain, crossed over the Jordan, and went through all Bitron, and they came to Mahanah. So Joab returned from pursuing Abner, and when he had gathered all the people together, there were missing of David's servants 19 men in Asher. But the servants of David had struck down all of Benjamin and Abner's men, 360 men who died. Then they took up Asher and buried him in his father's tomb, which was in Bethlehem. Joab and his men went all night, and they came to Hebron at daybreak. That's just fighting. But God knows the meaning of the fighting, even if I don't. Life lessons. 2 Samuel 2. Often we want too much too soon. This is often true in our desire to become highly competent. But skills take time to fully develop. We acquire wisdom over time and build character slowly. David knew about the development of competency over time. Samuel anointed David as king of Israel fairly early in his life, probably when he was a teenager. Yet David did not automatically become king. In the military realm, few people experienced as much success as David. Yet David slew a bear and a lion long before he encouraged Goliath. God was working in David during his shepherd days, giving him experience that would build his courage. David's faith grew as he saw the Lord's presence in his life during memorial experience. And so it is with our competency. The Lord works in us over time, helping us develop certain skills, in the end making us effective and successful. So there again, we need to just stay with God. We need to do what God say do. 2 Samuel 2:1, "Shall I go up to any of the cities of Judah?" David asked God for his leading, even in the matter of where he should live. Listening to God is essential to walking with God. There we go again, do as God say do. Ask God, especially if you're in a situation and you really don't know what to do, ask God. Go in prayer. Go in your closet. Don't go to the phone. You should go to the throne. Ask God what to do. A lot of times we be in situations and we really don't know what to do. So just ask God. We're the children of the Most High God. He's our Father. Abba Father. So go to your Father. It's 2 Samuel 2:10. Ishbosheth, Saul's son, was 40 years old when he began to reign over Israel. Abner, my God, made Saul's son king over Israel. The arrangement lasted for 2 years, but in the end, it brought the nation nothing but heartache. Whatever we acquire outside of God's will eventually turns to ashes. My goodness, we need to seek God, always seek God, seek his face, ask him what we need to do, ask God. Psalms 62:1-4. Truly my soul silently waits for God. From him comes my salvation. He only is my rock and my salvation. He's my defense. I shall not be greatly moved. How long will you attack a man? You shall be slain, all of you, like a leaning wall and a tottering fence. The only counsel to cast him down from his high position. They delight in lies. They bless with their mouth, but they curse inward. Pause and think about it. Proverbs 16:10-12. The divination is on the lips of the king, his mouth must transgress in judgment. Honest weights and scales are the Lord, and the weights in the bag are his work. It is an abomination for kings to commit wickedness, for a throne is established by righteousness. You know, when our president do wrong, it seems like it's up on all of us because he's just like a king. It's an abomination for kings to commit wickedness, for a throne is established by righteousness. And that's true. God will establish your throne if you're going to do the right thing. They got a song called Do the Right Thing. Well, it's easier to do the right thing than to do the wrong thing. A lot of times when people do good instead of doing evil, a nation is blessed by the right thing. So we have to be careful of who our leaders are, who we put over us. We really do have to be careful. Like they were saying, you only have a few friends. Make sure you choose your friends wisely. I mean, you can't help what family you belong to because it's blood. You can't help that. You can't help who birthed you into this land. But you can make a choice. You can choose your friends wisely. You can make a choice. John 4:1-30. Therefore, when the Lord knew that the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John, though Jesus himself did not baptize but his disciples, he left Judea and departed again to Galilee, but he needed to go through Samaria. He came to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near the plot of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied from his journey, thus said by the well, it was about the sixth hour. A woman of Samaria came to draw water. Jesus said to her, give me a drink. For his disciples had gone away into the city to buy food. The woman of Samaria said to him, how is it that you, being a Jew, ask a drink from me, a Samaritan woman? Jews have no dealings with Samaritans. Jesus answered and said to her, if you knew the gift of God, and who it is who says to you, give me a drink, you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water. The woman said to him, sir, you have nothing to draw with. The well is deep. Where then do you get that living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well, drank from it himself, as well as his sons and his livestock? Jesus answered and said to her, whoever drinks of this water will thirst again. Whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will never thirst. But the water that I shall give him will become in him a fountain of water springing up to everlasting life. Woman said to him, sir, give me this water that I may not thirst or come here to draw. Jesus said to her, go call your husband and come here. Woman answered and said, I have no husband. Jesus said to her, you have well said, I have no husband, for you have had five husbands. One whom you now have is not your husband. In that you speak truly, woman said to him, sir, I perceive that you are a prophet. Our fathers worship on this mountain, and the Jews say that in Jerusalem is the place where one ought to worship. Jesus said to her, woman, believe me, the hour is coming when you will neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem worship the Father. You worship what you do not know. We worship for salvation is of the Jews. The hour is coming, and now is when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father is seeking such to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth. The woman said, I know that the Messiah is coming, who is called Christ. When he comes, he'll tell us all things. Jesus said to her, I who speak to you am he. At this point, his disciples came, and they marveled that he talked with a woman, yet no one said, what do you seek, or why are you talking with her? The woman then left her water pot, went away into the city, said to the men, come see a man who told me all things that I ever did. could this be the Christ? Then they went out of the city and came to him. Come see a man who told me everything. She told them that when the Messiah comes, he will tell us everything. And Jesus said to him, to her, I who speak to you am he. And he was talking to a Samaritan woman. And Jews don't mix with Samaritans. They don't talk to Samaritan people. So she marveled and told him, you don't even have a pot. I mean, how can I give you a drink of water? He said, woman, if you knew who I was or who was speaking to you, you would ask him for a drink. Because he was Jesus, he was God, he was the Messiah. And he told her, I'll give you living water that you will never thirst again. She said, give me this water. And then she ran and told all the people, come see a man. Come see a man who told me everything I ever did. He told a woman, the man that you with, you've had five husbands. The man that you're shacking up with is not your husband. And she was shocked that he knew all of her business. God knows everything you do before you do it. He knows what you're going to do. God knows everything about you. Like when Peter said, Lord, I would never deny you. And God told him, before the crow three times, you're going to say you never knew me. God knows you better than you know yourself. And that's amazing. I mean, you don't really know yourself. But God knows you. He knows you better than you know yourself. He made you. He knows you. God knows you. Wow. Life lesson, John 4 and 10. He would have given you living water. Even when God asks us to do certain things, it's really an invitation to receive greater things from him. Jesus asked the woman for a drink of water so he could offer her a drink of living water. I mean, she didn't really know who the man was at the well, but he asked her, will you give me a drink of water? A lot of times, God asks you for something so he can offer. He was going to offer her a drink of living water. He was going to give her something even greater. All we have to do is do what God says do. We go back to that same thing, do what God tells you to do. John 4:23. True worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. God actively seeks men and women who will eagerly worship him accordingly to the truth of the scriptures and by the power of the Holy Spirit. In one sense, evangelism is nothing but seeking out authentic worshipers. We are to worship God in spirit, in truth. And like a lot of times people say, oh, I'm a good person. I'm really a good person. Your good works and being a good person is not what's going to save you. You know, you hear a lot of people saying, well, I don't do anything bad. I don't drink. I don't curse. I don't fuss. I don't smoke. I don't do this. I go to church. I'm a good person. But the Bible said you have to worship God in spirit and in truth. And that's what God wants. Just doing good works is not going to get it. We have to be worshipers of God in spirit and in truth. God is just good. He's good all the time. All the time. He's good. I mean, it's amazing when you read God's word. Every day you learn something different. Every day. And I'm just thinking about David again. David could have taken Saul out anytime he wanted to. He could have killed him. He could have. But he remembered what God said, touch not my anointed, do my prophet no harm. And when the man come running to David and telling him, I have killed King Saul, and this is his crown, and I brought it to you. And David said, this day you're going to die because you touched God's anointed one, and you shouldn't have did that. When God anoints somebody, and he was the king of Israel, Saul was the first king. He was the first king of Israel. And David didn't take him out, and nobody else had the right to take him out. He had to wait for God to do what God wanted to do with him. And that's why that man lost his, I mean, he lost his wife. He said, out of your own mouth, you have spoken. And he told the soldiers, kill him. Because he thought he was doing King David a favor by bringing him word that, hey, I don't kill Saul. And he lost his life. And David said, what, you afraid to touch God's anointed one? He says, shouldn't you have been afraid? So sometimes when you tell off on yourself, you think you're doing something good, but the man lost his wife. He lost his own wife for what he did. God's word is real. God's word is truth. And God is a good God all the time.
Mm-hmm.
He's very good.
Mother.
I'm going to turn this back over to the pastor.
Amen. Thank you so much. It's so nice sometimes to just be on the other side and listen. Listen to the word of God. It was great. Thank you so much, Mother. And, you know, the word that God gave me, and I might have been half asleep, but, you know, because I was traveling back, and, you know, I knew where we were going, and it said, shoulda kept that lie behind your teeth. And his mother was talking about, you know, the Amalekite. He did not understand the dynamics of David and Saul's relationship. David loved Saul. David understood that Saul was anointed by Samuel and that Saul was special. He was the first king of Israel. And David was willing to just let him pursue him forever. He wasn't going to try to kill Saul. But it was not God's will. This young man came live. He got basically what happened is right after Saul died, he came and saw what happened, grabbed everything up before there to get it. And before they killed Saul, I mean, they took Saul's head and Jonathan and all those his sons and hung them on the wall. He had stolen this stuff, and he was going to pretend like he had killed Saul to get, thinking he's getting accolades from David. Not understanding
Amen.
David loved Saul. Not understanding David loved God more than anything. And he was not touching God's anointing because he already knew, touch God's anointing, do not touch God's anointing. You know, folks get caught up in lies trying to look important. And that's what happened. He's trying to look important and lost his life. But this is the word that God gave me from our 65 days of prayer as we wrap up this morning. It says living on camera. And everybody wants to be a influencing. Sometimes you can open your life up to crazy trying to walk in influence. And it says whoever walks in integrity walks securely, but he who makes his way crooked will be found out. Again, should have kept that lie behind the teeth. And it says this, holy God, my every thought is seen by you. I cannot keep my life hidden from your sight, nor this may I stay on the path of righteousness, walking in security and purity of heart. All the days of my life, today I will be honest with myself and with others, letting my yes be yes and my no, no. When I am tempted to take the easy way out or to compromise my character in favor of my own comfort, remind me what the path of love looks like. I submit my way to you again, Lord. Knowing your wisdom will guide me into all truth. I don't need to be afraid of being found out. I'm living with a secure heart that is set on you. I live in security of being fully known, fully accepted, just as I am. I'm not trying to be anyone else. And the word of God, the question is, are you living to please God or to please yourself? Folks need to keep them lies behind their teeth because it can cost them their lives. We saw it our own nation in 2021 on January 6th when people chose not to follow God, follow men. And that, those folks are going to prison in record numbers because they should have kept the lie behind their peace because they mouthed did them in on Facebook bragging about what they did at the United States Capitol. It could have ruined and tore this nation apart. And we have folks that would believe a lie over the truth. Now, what if David had been a wicked man and said, you know, this guy was to be getting all kind of money, all kind of praise, all kind of accolades for the big lie of, well, I killed Saul. No, you didn't. Saul committed suicide, and his armor bearer helped him because he didn't want to be kept alive for the Philistines to vilify him. And they vilified Saul's body. But the people came and got it, took him and his son, burned and buried them because they had been treated horribly. You know, we cannot allow folks to lie in our face. And we can't be liars ourselves and expect peace because God does not give the life. Wonder why people are going through. What if they see it? Your mouth can get you in all kinds of trouble. Your own mouth did you in, is what David told us. You know, if our own mouth can do us in. So the first thing we do is trust God. Give over to God everything because everything belongs to God. Belongs to God. We are his disciples. We are his children. We are our God's anointed. Hallelujah. So that is all we have this morning. Mother, do you have anything extra today? Is there anyone else that has a quick word that God has put in your heart? If so, now is the time to push that one. Keep me in your prayers today, family, because I got to go to work. But praise the Lord, I'm only working a half a day today. God is in charge of everything now, so keeping God first in everything. So I thank you all. Mother, thank you so very much.
Have the word from Carolyn. Did you give the word from Carolyn?
I did. Let me get that out. Thank you so much, Mother, for the reminder. And I don't have a word from today, but I do have a word, I believe, from yesterday. And the word is this. Worship the Lord in gladness and come before him with joyful songs. Enter into his gateway to him and praise his name. 100 Psalm verses. Verse 284, how abundantly for less day, family. As Sister Carolyn says, have an abundantly blessed day. And may the Lord watch between me and thee while we're absent one from each other. In Jesus' name, I pray over you and yours. Have a great day, knowing that you are loved by God. He loves you. He loves you. And he loves you some more. And Mother and I love you too. And there's nothing you can do about it but love God and love each other. Mother, I love you. I thank God for you. Have a blessed and wonderful day. Because we are about to say, it's a what?
It's a wrap. And Pastor Bridget, it's we were so wrap. Happy to see you yesterday. I mean, you come running in and everything. We didn't know that we were going to be able to see you yesterday, so it was beautiful, Pastor. It was beautiful to see you on Mother's Day because we know that you were out of town with your mother. That was beautiful that you came on to the church, and we saw you for Mother's Day. We love you.
I was blessed to see all of you, too. Love you, Mother, and I'm sending you some pictures. Have a blessed day, family. It's a wrap.
It is a wrap.